Where's he at? Is he somewhere?
Come on, give it up for Flacco.
Oh, MC Flacco.
Oh. Oh. Check it out, GQ. GQ.
Oh, I got to change and look all respectable. I'm not MC Flacco anymore. Now I'm Pastor Andrew.
All right, so give it up for Pastor Andrew.
Happy Father's Day. You guys having a good time today? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Dads, I love dads. I love being a dad, and dads, just want to take a few minutes over the next few moments and just encourage you today. You know, oftentimes Mother's Day is known as the day that we celebrate and love on moms, and Father's Day is often known as the day that we like to beat up on dad and tell him how he's not doing a good job. Today, however, that is not our goal. Our purpose today is to encourage you, dads, is to give you a pat on the back and say, hey, you can do it. God has a purpose for you as a father, and he's going to help you. And so that's what we're going to do the next few moments. Before we do that, in your bulletin, there's a couple things I just want to point out to you. First of all, there is a postcard thing in there with a card on the front. If you'd grab that and pull it out for a second, on the back, it's got, I guess I don't have one up here, on the back it has a couple of important pieces of information for men, for fathers. First of all, we're going to do a trap shooting day. We're going to go out and shoot some clay pigeons, I believe, coming up in July. And so you might want to put that on your calendar. We're going to meet here in the church parking lot. We're not actually going to do the shooting in the church parking lot, but we're going to go somewhere else. But this is where we're going to meet. So put that on your calendars. Always remember, dads and fathers, men, on Mondays and Thursdays throughout the whole summer, there's a Bible study that happens on either night. There are two different groups. You can drop in at any time on either one of them. It's a great way to drop in, be encouraged, get some Bible study in, get some fellowship together with other men. And so you can know that those are always happening on Monday nights and Thursday nights. And so make a note of that. And then I think also on there it says battle zone information. And today I'll spend a little bit of time talking about battle zone and giving you an opportunity to sign up for more information. But guys, battle zone is really an important piece of the puzzle here at Koinonia in our men's ministry. It is a discipleship coaching program. Lasts 9 or 10 weeks. You get with a group of guys, 2, 3, 4 guys. You go through some really excellent material, and you address some of the things that we address as men. It's a way to put on our armor, learn how to put on the armor of God, and be victorious in everyday life. And so Battle Zone, I cannot say enough about it. It is just really, 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 really good stuff for men. And there's an information booth set up outside during the barbecue. You can find out information there. And in a little while, like I said, I'll give you an opportunity to check off a box in your bulletin and say, hey, I want to know more information, and we'll get that to you as well. The other piece in there is an insert that goes along with your outline that says what dad needs for the family. So this is what every dad needs for the family, just a couple of things and ideas for you that you can buy for your family. There's many things that you can do for your family, and just the focus of this one was things that you could buy for your family that would go a long ways in terms of value and bringing joy and just good times to your family. So there's ideas here for every dad, for dads with kids that are not teenagers yet, that are preteens, for dads with teenagers, and for dads with adult children. And there's some important things on there. Dads with preteens, remember you need energy drinks. That's very, very important. For dads with teens, I think they took it off of here, but I had some kind of relaxing medication, you know, that you would, you know, like a Valium or something that would just kind of chill you down. But they wouldn't let me put that on there. They thought it was a little politically incorrect. So, and then for dads with adult children, icy hot muscle ointment. So, you know, for you old guys when you're wrestling with those kids, and they're the grandkids, that you might need some muscle relaxer stuff. So just check that out. Hopefully some good stuff there for you. Let me read you a couple of Father's Day quotes. A father carries pictures where his money used to be. Mark Twain said this: when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. Isn't that the truth? You're 14, your dad is a moron. You're 21, 23, 25, you go, man, how dad is just, he knows so much. He's so intelligent. I like this one. Red Buttons said this. Anybody remember Red Buttons, who that is? Some of you old-timey people remember who Red Buttons is? Said, never raise your hand to your kids it leaves your groin unprotected. Like I said, the goal today is just to encourage you, dads. And as a father, that's my heart, would be to encourage you. I don't have it all together. I'm not the best dad. There is no such thing as a perfect dad. We serve the perfect father. And one of the wonderful things is that Father God chose the name Father to introduce himself to us. And so we know that fathering is very important. Let me just tell you, dads, every single one of you in this room is called by Father God to be a father. All of you that have children, whether they're little kids or whether they're adult kids, dads, you are called. Fatherhood is a calling, and it is something that God has given to you. He's given you a gift of these kids, and he desires for you to speak into them, to pour into them, to bless them. And that is my hope today, is that you would be encouraged in that. I don't know where you're at this morning, dads. I know there's dads in a room of this size with this many people. I know there's dads at all different stages. Not only do you have kids at different stages, but we've got dads here that are in their home with their kids, with their wife. We've got dads here today that are in their home with a blended family, with stepkids. We've got dads here that are not with their kids in their home. Their kids are somewhere else. We've got dads that are estranged from their kids because of something they have done or something the children have done. We've got dads with great pain. We've got all kinds of different dads today. And I just want you to know that wherever you're at today, whether things are going great in your life and your kids, or whether you're struggling because you just know you don't got it, not everything is perfect, I just want to tell you that today Father God wants to encourage you. He wants to empower you. He wants you to know that as you make the decision to rely on him for help, that he will equip you to do that which you can't do on your own. I know that I need Father God, because when I come to the moment of what do I do, I've got someone to turn to. And that's one of the things that he wants you to know today. So I don't come as a perfect dad knowing anything. I do want to share with you my qualifications for being a father, since today is Father's Day. And so that's actually not my qualifications. You guys, is that picture up there? I actually have that. There's my qualifications. That's my kids. My oldest is eight, or is going to be eight here very quickly, and my youngest is two, and they are certainly a joy to me and a challenge to me every day. And so they make my life interesting and exhausting and frustrating and wonderful all at the same time. So today what I want to do is encourage you in that way. George Herbert said this. He said this about 400 years ago. He said, one father is more than 100 schoolmasters. One father is more than 100 teachers, that is so true. In our country, we have an education problem, and the solution to the education problem, I believe, is not more money. Well, putting money on that education is good. The solution to our education problem is not more teachers. While I'm sure we need more teachers, the real solution to our problem in terms of our country's education is fathers, and fathers stepping up to the plate, being there and playing the role that God has designed them to be. And let me just tell you, dads, you can do that. God has equipped you to do that. Whether you're frustrated today, whether you're coming, you're hopeless today, whether your relationship with your kids is severed and broken today, God can step in on that situation as the Father of fathers, and he can move in your life and in your kids' life and empower you to be the father that he wants you to be. So today what we're going to do is we're going to take a pit stop, since we have a racing theme. Sort of have a racing theme, racing and hip-hop theme. The racing theme, we're going to take a pit stop, because we know that in every race of any distance, of any length, if you're not going to run out of gas, you need to take a pit stop every once in a while to get some gas, to fuel up, to get some coaching, to get your breath so that you can get back on the road and finish the race. And so today that's what I'm encouraging you to do, is just to take a breath for a moment so that you can leave the pit and drop the hammer down and run the race all the way to the finish. And that's what I want. I want dads to run with the hammer down, knowing that there is a purpose that God has for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your kids, and he wants to see it happen. So we're going to use Fuel Up just as an outline with some of the principles from Scripture and from our Father God to encourage us today for how we can be better fathers. And the F in Fuel Up, we're going to do F-U-E-L-U-P. The F in Fuel Up stands for future focus. If you've got an outline, you can pull it out. You can take notes and follow along. We've got some Bibles, if you need Bibles this morning, the ushers are coming down. Just raise your hand. If you don't have a Bible this morning, if you left yours at home, you can borrow one of ours and we'll loan it to you. And so just stick your hands up high as they come back and they'll get them to you. And we'll look at some verses together. If you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take that home. If you do, just leave it on your chair or hand it back to one of the ushers on your way out, and we will put it up for you. Future focus is the first F in Fuel Up. Future focus. Dads have vision. Dads have vision. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5 says this. It says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. It says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are sons born, sons and daughters born in one's youth. Now, when you have a warrior who is skilled and able, and he shoots an arrow from his bow, that arrow is a very dangerous weapon. Because the arrow is going to fly straight and true to its target, and it's going to hit what it was aimed at. And so if you have a warrior that has a bow and arrow, he is a dangerous man, because he's going to shoot those arrows and use them as weapons for warfare. And the Bible says that is what our children are like, dads. Our children are like arrows, and we are like the warriors that is stretching the bow back and releasing the arrow and sending it on a trajectory out into the future. And that is, it's so important for us as dads to know where we're aiming our kids, because our kids are being sent out into the future. They're sent out into a destiny. They're sent out beyond maybe what they can see or imagine or know about into the future. And if we have the vision to be able to see the target, if we have the ability to see where we're shooting, then they become useful and effective tools in our hands. And it's all about how the warrior, how the man shoots the arrow. The arrow is important, first of all, because as a warrior, you're responsible for your arrows. You're responsible to make sure that the shaft is true, that it's a straight arrow. Then you're responsible to make sure that all the feathers on the ends of the arrow are straight, so that when you shoot it, it's going to go straight. And so we as dads are responsible for our kids, to care for them, to craft them, to make sure that when it comes time to release them. And how many know that's the goal of parenting? That's my goal of parenting, to release those kids out into the world, out of my home, given to the world as a blessing, released so that they're no longer part of my life. Well, not part of my life, but shooting them out into the... And see, as dads, what we have to have is we have to have vision. We have to have future focus to see in them oftentimes what they cannot see in themselves. Look at this in Proverbs 22:6. Turn to Proverbs 22:6. If you've got one of the blue Bibles, it's on page 456. And this is a verse that we all know, we're all familiar with. It's a verse often, sometimes we don't understand all that's here. And it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the Hebrew there for the way he should go simply means according to his way, according to his way. And the truth is that the child that you have, Dad, is a unique child. If you have more than one child, you know that you have two very different children, more than likely. And every child that you have requires a different parenting style, because every child is unique with its own personality, with a character, with character traits, with skills and abilities, with talents, with bents in one and interests in one direction or the other. And what the scripture says here in Proverbs is we're supposed to train up a child according to the way that God has created them. See, God didn't give you just a blank canvas when he gave you a child. How many know that when your child, as soon as they started talking, they started expressing stuff that was not there, like you didn't put it there. Like, what in the world is this? This child is speaking to me, and this attitude and all that stuff, they didn't come from me. It's because God has created and given to you a creature, this child, that has within it talents and abilities and personality that he has created, that he has given to you. And our job as parents, our job as fathers, is to recognize the way that God himself has gifted and created this child. and to call out in them that which is from him, and to remove or help remove that which is not from him. And it's not, they're not blank canvas that we get just to write whatever. They're actually moldable material that we get to shape and form, that we have the raw elements of personality, we have the raw elements of emotion and gifts and talents, and we're now seeing, okay, this child is interested in this direction. Okay, this child is dealing with this in their personality. Okay, this child is afraid in this area, or maybe over here is a problem. And recognize that and then begin to work with them. And that's why you can't treat your children all the same, because every child is different. I remember the day that I really recognized that my firstborn and my secondborn, that the things that worked on my firstborn would not work on my secondborn. My firstborn, I could threaten him with throwing away his toys, and he would shape up real fast. And he would cry, and, oh, Dad, no, that was like the worst thing in the world. If he was playing with the toy, he was doing something wrong, I said, you know what, son, I'm going to take that toy away, I'm going to throw it away. Oh, Dad! And it would be the worst. My secondborn, I tried it with. And he said, okay. And I thought, oh, no. Well, what am I going to do? All I know how to do is threaten to throw away toys. I have to come up with a different strategy. Because he's a different child. And that's the way it is. There's a story about Michelangelo, the great artist from the Renaissance, the great painter and sculptor. After he finished the sculpture of David, which is one of the great sculptures of all time, and he's finished his statue. It was hewn out of marble, and he was standing there, and they were admiring it, and someone asked him, he said, Michelangelo, how did you know to sculpt David? And David said, he looked at the man, and he said, David was always in the stone. I simply removed everything that was not David. And the dad that is the dad that looks with God's eyes at his children, sees into the stone, sees into that material that's unformed, sees into that child, and sees beyond that which everyone else can see, into the possibilities of the future, to that David, to that masterpiece, to that piece of art that you as a father are creating. You know, Ephesians says that you and I are God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That we're a piece of art that God is designing and building and creating. And it's the same thing with you, Dad, with your kids. You are crafting a piece of art. You're crafting a piece of work, something that's beautiful. All the potential, all the beauty, all the wonder, all the possibilities of a destiny changer to go out into the world and to really make a difference. And Dad, we've got to see it. And how do we see it? We've got to look with God's eyes. We've got to ask God, now help me to see the uniqueness of my child. Help me to understand how you have created them. Help me to see this gift that you've given me so that I can speak into them. Now, in your notes there, I've got a little box under each point, just some reminders. And this first one says this: how can you stay future-focused as a father? Number one, determine to see the potential in your kids. Determine to see the potential in your kids. Fathers, you can call out things in your kids that they have no idea that is there. You can see potential. Why? Because you have experience. You have eyes that have seen things, and you're able to look into your kids and see beyond what they can see. And so you can see talents and abilities, and the world might say, I don't see that now. But you, Dad, can call them out. And you, Dad, can see the potential, and you can begin to breathe life into that child in those and speak possibility. Hey, maybe you didn't succeed in that thing, but man, that child could succeed in that thing. And I'm going to speak life. And so determined to do that for your kid. Speak words of life and purpose to be a barrier breaker. One of the greatest gifts you can give to your kids is to break down walls that seem impossible to a 5-year-old, to a 10-year-old, to a 15-year-old, to an 18-year-old, and even beyond. A barrier that just seems insurmountable to them, but you know what? You can help them get beyond it, because you're a dad that has a vision for them that moves beyond the obstacle that's in front. So that's F. The letter U there is upward pointing. Upward pointing. Dads show the way. Dads show the way. I remember a story. This just happened just a couple of years ago. We were sitting with the staff around the table one day, and we began to visit about how people came to know Christ. How was it that you came to church in the first place? How was it that you decided to make Christ the leader of your life? And I asked around the table, and different people had different stories. And this one staff member said, she said, I you know, it was so interesting. She said, we weren't churchgoers when I was a kid. We'd never been to church before. And one day, all of a sudden, Dad woke up in one morning. She said, I don't know why. I don't know what the backstory is. But one morning he decided that we were all going to go to church. And everybody got dressed and we all went to church. And then from then on we went to church every Sunday. And I came to know Christ and I'm here today because of that. And I thought, how amazing. The power of a father to change the destiny of his family. That he wakes up, and I don't know why, right? I don't know if something went on in his life. I don't know if he had hit a wall and he needed help. I don't know if he just realized something needed to change. But here's a dad that he wakes up one morning and says, something is going to change. I'm going to change, and maybe even he didn't realize, to change the destiny of the next generation. To change the destiny of where his kids were going to be 20, 30 years from then. Because he made a quality decision to say, you know what, we're going to get in church that day. Dads, that's the power that we have. When we show the way, when we point upward, when we point to the Father, and we tell our family, this is what it's about. There's something more than just what we can see with our physical eyes. There's something more than what the world offers. There's something that is eternal and meaningful and can really make the difference in our life. And dads, when we point upward in that way, the destiny of your kids can be changed. 1 Timothy 2:8 says this. Paul says to Timothy, he says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands. Not with anger, not with bitterness, but to lift up holy hands. Now, when you lift up holy hands, the kind that he's talking about would be lifting hands that are like this, that are open hands. Now, oftentimes the symbol that we see of hands, men's hands being raised up today is the fist of power, the fist of anger, the fist of bitterness, the fist that says, no, I want this, or it needs to be this way. And Paul says, no, that's not the right attitude. That's not the right symbol of a father. That's not the right symbol of a man. The symbol of a man is one that's pointing upward, that has his hands open, asking God to fill him with what he needs. And dads, our call is to point our kids upward, not in a religious way, not in a way that dictates to them. Sometimes we get so worked up about this that we've got to get this into our kids, and so we lecture instead of drawing, and we force instead of wooing, and what we've got to do is instead bring the practicality of who we are spiritually, of our worship of God, just down to normal everyday life. And so we point upward in what we do. And so things like how do you relate to God as a dad? Teach your kids how you relate to God. How do you talk to God? How do you worship God? One of the things we do in our home, because we try to make sure that our kids don't separate church and spiritual stuff from everyday life. And sometimes we make that mistake. We say, here's our church life and here's our everyday life. And in church life, you dress up and you make sure that you don't say bad words, and you make sure that you're always respectful, and you don't, you know, look at anybody crossways. But over here in real life, well, that's church stuff, and here we, you know, anything goes, or whatever. It's a whole different world, and the two never meet. And the truth is that the sacred and the secular are intertwined. There is no place that God will not go if you invite him to be there with you. And that the very activities of everyday life are ripe with the fullness of the Spirit, if only we will recognize it. And so at our home, you know, we try to do things around, for example, dinner time, around meal time, that are maybe a little bit different. I mean, how many times have you prayed for dinner? Every meal. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Yay, God. Right? I mean, how many prayers can you come up with? And pretty soon everybody's going to sleep if you pray the long prayer, and everybody just wants to eat. And so how do you, but and yet it's important, because you're trying to put into your kids an understanding that we get this from God. It's more than just a tradition. So in our home, we try to mix things up. We say, well, let's sing a song tonight. Let's do something different. Let's laugh. Let's make a joke in our prayer. Why? Because it's not, that have to be, oh, it's time to pray now. Rub dub dub, thanks for the grub, you know. And no, it's the reality of every day as you walk along in life, following Christ, letting your worship be a part of who you are. Not saying it's just over there, but it's It's everywhere. Deuteronomy talks about the word of God, and God is telling the Israelites, he's saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, as you walk along the road, as you lie down on your bed, as you get up in the morning, wherever you are, bring God's word into it. Think and talk about the things of God. Now, that's the model for us dads. When we point upward, it's not just, hey, that's a good idea, go to church. It's just everyday life, walking with your kids and letting them see you model who God is. Letting them see you ask God for forgiveness when you mess up. Sometimes, well, more often than not, our kids know, right, when we've lost it. When we've lost our temper, when we've said something we shouldn't have said. What a great thing to model right there in their presence. Forgiveness from them, please forgive me. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Teaching your kids how to seek forgiveness from a person you've wronged and teaching them how to seek forgiveness from God our Father. Now that's just practical everyday life modeling to them. So look here in that box. How can you point upward as a father? Number one, pray with your family in many different settings and styles. Have fun with it. Learn some worship songs and sing them. I know that's a stretch for some of us guys. But, you know, it's one of the ways, you know, if you're stretching in your worship, your kids will see you stretching in your worship. And they will see you modeling for them the importance of that. Because stretching is never fun, right? And when you expand yourself, whether it be your prayer life, whether it be your worship style, whether it be just whatever it is, pushing into him, and you model it for them in just a real and genuine way, it does wonders for them in terms of knowing that there is a Father in heaven that you're seeking after. Model the importance of worship and put God first. All right, so that's you. Letter E is the equipping mentality. Equipping mentality. And I like this, dads share their tools. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd like dads to share their tools, right? I remember when I was a kid, dad always being frustrated with his toolbox because we always found his tools. And I remember once, I think he figured that we were old enough and to actually buy some nice tools. And so I remember he went and he bought a Craftsman tool set. And it had, I don't know if it's 24-piece or what it was, but it had screwdrivers of all different lengths and sizes. And it was the long ones and the short ones. And they're all real pretty, you know, with the reds and the blues. And they all matched and all had the case, you know, where they all fit and hanging up on the wall. And he said, kids, these are my tools, you know, don't touch them. And of course, what happened, it wasn't very long, and they were just spread everywhere, and dad was not real happy. And of course, I remembered, you know what dad does when he can't find his tools. He opens the drawers, starts slamming the drawers. Oh, where's the, I can't find that screwdriver. Oh, I got those kids, I can't believe what they're doing. He's slamming the, boom, you know, oh boy, and just kind of make yourself busy somewhere else, try to disappear into thin air. And now today, I never understood why it was such a big deal about his tools. And now today I have my own tools. And I understand why dad didn't buy any expensive tools early on, right? Because they just all end up on the ground or in somewhere that you find them months later and they're rusty and they're broken. But dads, we need to share our tools. We need to learn to share. Maybe not your Craftsman. Maybe not your, Mac tools. Maybe not the good stuff, right? But just the tools of life. That which you can give to your kids to prepare them for the future. There are tools that we hand to our kids to help them understand how to deal with failure, how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with conflict when we have relationship conflict, how to treat other people. There are so many things that we actually can hand to our kids just by virtue of modeling and sharing with them. We equip them for the future. Look at this verse in Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. I'll tell you the page number here in this one if I could find it myself. Page 836. It says, may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will. May the God of peace equip you with everything good. See, Father God desires for each one of us to be equipped. He wants to give us all the tools, all the preparation that we need to live life successfully. I mean, his goal, Daddy God's goal, is for you and I to be successful in this life in the things that he has called us to do. And because he loves us, because he cares for us, he says, I'll give you what you need to do that. I'll give you the tools. You ever notice that if you've got the right tools to do certain jobs, it makes such a world of difference? I have discovered that there are certain tasks that take so long that it's almost impossible to do them. And then if you just have the right tool, all of a sudden it just, oh my gosh, it's so easy. If I just had the right tool. And God has the right tools for you. And as fathers, dads, we can give our kids tools that will make an incredible difference in their life. Let me just talk about a couple of them. I mean, I listed a number of them, how to deal with change, how to deal with people and conflict, how to reach out for help from others, how to ask for forgiveness, how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with your emotions. Have you noticed that some people never have been equipped, never have learned to deal with their emotions? And it's not that we need to teach our kids that our emotions are bad, not at all, but that there is this, right now we're at the phase our kids are little, and so we're trying to teach them that they don't have to be controlled by their emotions, that their emotions don't have to dictate their reality. And so, you know, when things don't go their way, you know, when you're little, it's very simple. You know, you want to do this, it doesn't happen, you throw a fit. And why? Because I'm unhappy, because I don't get to do the things that I want to do. And so one of the gifts that we give our kid, and our kids don't understand this, we're saying, we're giving you a gift, son, daughter. Don't you understand? This is a gift that we're giving you, that you would learn how to deal with your emotions. We don't really have conversations with that, like that with them, because it doesn't make any sense, right? But you're giving them a gift to train them how to deal with their emotions. And you know people that are now 30, 40, 50 years old that have never learned how to deal with their emotions. Their emotions still drive. They still think the world revolves around them. When, ever seen Bridezillas? And there's some people that have never moved beyond the, you know, 12 years old. They've never actually learned to deal with their emotions. And one of the things that we can do, dads, is just help, not ignore them. We're not talking about telling them to stuff their emotions. We're just talking about how you have a choice not to let that disappointment, not to let that feeling of things not going your way control the way that you act. That you don't have to throw a fit just because things don't go your way. And that's a tool that then you give to your kids. And we've all have tools that we've received from our dads and from our parents. And some of the tools are so-so, and some of them are better. But the way that we deal with life today is largely a result of the tools that we have been given. And then over time, we can develop more tools, and we pick them up along the way as we mature and grow. But see, as fathers, what a wonderful gift to give our children a leg up. An understanding of how to deal with some of these realities of life. So how can you be an equipping father? In your notes, be alert for teaching moments. Be alert for teaching moments. I'm good at lecturing. I've been practicing ever since Chase, my oldest, was born at the lecture. But I've noticed that no matter how good I get, they just don't listen, you know? As soon as I start to lecture, it's like there's something that goes off in their brain, and they're standing there, and I can even get them to look at me, but I just know there's just no connection with anything up here, and it's just really pisses me off, because I shouldn't say that. It really ticks me off. But you see how big a deal it is, right? It really ticks me off because I know how good the stuff is that I'm trying to tell them. I was like, kid, don't you understand? I know what I'm talking about. This is the wisdom of God from my mouth to your ears. I am delivering to you information that can save you vitally for the future. And if you don't listen to the pearls of wisdom that are flowing forth, and they just... It's a lecture, it doesn't work. But then there's moments, teachable moments, moments when you know your kids' ears are like in tune, right? And you see those moments, and they're like windows of opportunity. And oftentimes they don't last very long. And depending on the maturity level of the child and the thing that's going on, the size of the window, the time that you have to speak to them is different. But when those teachable moments come, if you can get in tune with our Father God, with His Holy Spirit, and speak in those moments, not a lecture, but just the right words led by Him, to make a difference in their life, because it's a moment of of teaching. It's a moment of opportunity, a moment when they're in tune to you, and what you say at that moment is worth more than 1,000 words in lecture, no matter how good the lecture is. And no matter how good it makes me feel, because it makes me feel good sometimes to lecture. But in the moments when they're open, and when I recognize, this is a second when I've got an opportunity to speak into this child, their ears are in tune. Now, Holy Spirit, help me in this moment to communicate in a way that the child understands at their level, not beyond them, not to go into the lecture mode that I'm so good at doing, but rather to speak right where they're at. That's where the real equipping happens. So be alert for teaching moments. Be intentional about creating conversational opportunities. I mean, you can create moments of conversation intentionally, especially as your kids get into the preteen and teenager phase. You take them for a drive. You go do something. You watch a movie together with an intention in mind to talk about it afterwards, to have a discussion about it. You basically create these moments of conversational opportunities. And then you don't force them. You just kind of wait for them to bubble to the surface. Talk them through things and explain as you do life. Just explain as you do life. As you go along, this is why I'm doing this. This is what I think about this. This is that. Rather than sitting on the chair and now come and sit at my feet, my child, and let me instruct you in the ways of life. But rather just as you do life. Okay. L, lots of love and laughter. Lots of love and laughter. Dads are affectionate and laugh loud. I always liked it when my dad laughed. Dad had a great laugh. I knew that I was much less likely to get in trouble if he was laughing. Laughter is a wonderful gift that we can give to our kids. Humor is a wonderful gift that we can give to our kids. That perspective that this moment in life, now this moment in time for the child sometimes is a really big deal. That breakup with that boyfriend or girlfriend, that grade that they got on the test that is just not that great, that disappointment that they experienced. For a kid, oftentimes, it just seems like it's everything. That one moment, that one day is like bigger than life itself. You know what I'm talking about. And what we can do as dads is help give them perspective by injecting sometimes humor into it. Now, I don't mean laughing at them. I don't mean making fun of them. We do that when the door is closed, right? When they can't hear. But helping them understand and recognizing, too, that those moments for them are very important, right? And so it's not making light of the moment. It's rather helping them see the humor in it, the fact that we take life with a grain of salt, the fact that at one moment in time in the future, all of the game pieces, all of the cards, all of the tokens will go back in the box, and God will close the chapter, and we will go to heaven with him. And this moment in time, in that perspective, is probably not as big as it seems. And so to teach them how to bring joy into situations that are sad, how when you're grieving, laughter is a part of grieving, humor is a part of life, just that's an important tool. And then, of course, affection, the whole affection part, the whole embracing your children and loving your children. I love what it says in Genesis chapter 27, verse 26, is talking about Isaac, and he calls his son, he says, "Come near, my son, let me kiss you." And it's so important for us as parents to be affectionate with our kids, to remember that feeds a need inside of them. And whether they're little kids or whether they're big kids, that affection is something that all of us have a desire for inside. And so sometimes it's as simple as putting your arm around them when you're sitting down together on the couch. Sometimes it's holding hands. One of the things my dad loved to do was to brush my sister's hair and just to love on her in that way. And he'll do that today, and he does that with the granddaughters especially today. Now, the grandsons don't like it quite as much, but the granddaughters just love it, you know, and just to love them in that practical way, to give them affirmation of who they are. How do you stay affectionate in your notes and playful as a father? Don't take things too seriously. Laugh frequently. And make it a habit to be physical with your kids. You know, sometimes if you have a hard time being, I mean, maybe your dad didn't model this. You know, maybe this wasn't something you did in your house where where you one of the things my dad taught me is he taught me how to hug people. That there's a dip, you know, you notice you hug men and women differently. When you hug a man, it's all right here. You hug him with the chest, right? Right, guys? When you hug a woman, you hug him on the side, right? Or you hug him just kind of away so there's no body contact or very little body contact, right? That's just a very practical thing, right? You don't be hugging up on somebody that's not your wife. Oh, baby. You don't be doing that, right? It's not a smart thing to do. And so, you know, you just teach your kids about how to be affectionate. You have a hard time showing affection to your kids, start roughhousing with them a little bit. You got some boys and you have a hard time, you know, hugging them. Well, kind of take a couple punches at them and then grab them and squeeze them. Break the ice a little bit. But what you can do is say with your mouth words of affirmation, say with your arms and your touch, just signs of love, symbols of love. And that just speaks volumes into them as a father, one of the gifts that we can give to them. All right, you uproot the cycle. Uproot the cycle. Dads deal with the past. Dads deal with the past. In Exodus chapter 20, we won't look at the verse. It just refers to how the sins of the father are visited on the sons and the daughters from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, for many, many generations. And the truth is that there is a cycle of patterns in our lives that if we're not careful, we pass down. We inherit them, and we pass them down to the next generation. We all know this. I mean, there's so many things that we inherited from our parents, whether we like it or not, right? And we all know there's the stuff that we got from mom and dad, and we swore we would never do it. We swore we'd never pass it on to our kids, and we would never act like that. We would never look like that. We would never say that. And then we find ourselves saying it because there is such a generational pattern that can get passed from one generation to the next. And one of our jobs, dads, one of your jobs, dads, is to break cycles that are unhealthy from one generation to the next. To uproot and to break the terminal tendencies that are damaging that you got from your parents and from your parents' parents. And it might be some kind of sin issue. It might be a way that you deal with conflict and maybe you run. It might be anger. It might be a whole host of things, that unhealthy thing that you know that you got and that's a demon that you're fighting with. It's a monkey on your back. And your and my call, Dad, is to break that cycle right there so that it doesn't pass to the next generation. One of the greatest gifts we can give to our kids is to stop that pattern right there, to uproot the cycle so that they don't even have to deal with it. One of the things my dad dealt with was anger. My grandfather was an angry man. I love my grandfather, but he was an angry man. And he was abusive to my grandmother. And my uncles, all of my dad's brothers, watched it happen all throughout their life. They would come home, and every dish in the house would be broken because grandfather lost it. And he broke every dish in the house because that was something that grandmother treasured. And my dad watched that, and he saw it modeled, and he heard it in the house at night. And that is exactly what threatened to be passed down to him in the pattern with his kids. And so he got to the situation in our house, and I remember even times when he would do it, and something would happen, and anger would rise up, and he, instead of acting out, he would drop to his knees, and he'd say, God, save me from this. I'm not going to pass it down. It stops here. It's not going any farther. And today, I don't deal with those issues. I just don't. That anger is not in me. Because he broke it. Dad didn't have anything to do with me. He said, this far and no farther. And dads, that is the power that you have. You can't do it on your own. It's only through Father God. It's only through his help. It's only through getting together with other groups of men and things like Battle Zone, where you say, this is what I'm dealing with. This is the reality of my life. And by God's grace and learning through skills to deal with this and his power and the power of his Holy Spirit, we're going to break it right here. And when you do that, boy, about the freedom that your kids can walk in. This far, no farther. Uproot the cycle. So look at that. How can you stay... that was the last one. How can you uproot the cycle as a father? Take a good look at your family history, the good and the bad. Identify terminal tendencies and determine to defeat them. Talk to your kids about your own struggles. And then lastly, P, place boundaries. Place boundaries. Dads draw lines. Dads draw lines. I remember when I was a kid, my dad told me, he said, Andrew, he said, when we're coming up to a street, you need to listen to what I'm saying. If I tell you to stop, you need to stop. You don't need to run. You don't be trying to go into the street unless I tell you it's all right. And he said, it's because I can see what you can't see. I can see down the road in either direction, much farther than you can, because I'm much taller than you, and so you need to listen, and I'm going to protect you. And he told me, he got down on his knee, and he explained that to me, and then he said, now, if you don't listen to me, something else is going to happen on your backside. So between the encouragement in that realm and the explanation, I thought, well, maybe Dad knows what he's talking about. And today I know that he knows exactly what he's talking about, because I have that conversation with my kids and know the dangers of what happens when boundaries are not there. And boundaries are so important because they can protect us. They actually can create a runway for your kids to be able to move into the future with purpose and with direction because of the boundaries. If you don't have any boundaries, then where do you go? Where do you head? I see kids out and about that it's clear that their parents maybe have not been real consistent with boundary setting. It's easier to see in little kids, right? Because little kids, they can't hide anything. They can't hide their emotions. They just, you know, and so you can see it on their faces, the frustration that they have inside of them because they don't know where the boundaries are. There are, and so they're frustrated. They're running here and there and everywhere, and they're making mom and dad frustrated, and they're making everybody else around them frustrated, and something happens, and they just, you know, they lose it because there's not been boundaries that have been set for them. And boundaries are so important. They keep you. They let you know what the rules are, what's in and what's out, and they can protect you. And so one of the gifts that we give to our kids is drawing those lines. I like to know where the lines are when I'm driving on the road, right? They keep me on the road. They keep the other people, hopefully, out of my lane. But if I don't have those lines, I get very nervous, very nervous. And so placing those boundaries is a gift that we can give to them. So how can you place boundaries as a father? Know the difference between a battle and a war. You don't just, you know, you got to know that not every single thing is the biggest thing. Not every single boundary line, every single thing that they cross is like the war. The war is bigger than this one thing. So just a little perspective. You don't want to have the same kind of boundaries with like eat your broccoli as you do with like stay out past 12 or, you know, go and date this person I don't want you to date or whatever it might be, right? You don't have the same type of consequences, same type of boundary lines. Be consistent. Don't draw unnecessary lines. Don't say no just because. That's the problem I have with, you know, with little kids, that's especially a problem. You say no just because. Or teenagers, you know, preteens. Remember, the whole goal is to get them out of the house. Remember that? I hold on to that with great expectation. It keeps me going. If you're not aware that your kids, the goal is to mature them in their character, to mature them in their ability to deal with life, then what you can end up doing is creating boundaries that are too strict, and they never expand, they never change, and so you can have these rules, and then the child grows up in your house, and they finally get out of the house, and then they don't have those boundaries anymore, and they go, woohoo, party time, no boundaries. But what the mistake is that we haven't realized that as they grow, you allow them the boundary lines to flex and change as they gain more and more responsibility. And so, yes, they may mess up. Yes, they may do this or that. And no, it's not a free-for-all. You don't go from this to nothing. But you go progressively releasing them to grow in their own responsibility and maturity level so that when they walk out, there are some boundaries internally that they've understood what happens when they cross over, what happens when it's flexed and this and that. And so we are sensitive to who they are, how old they are, and where they're going. Now, I know that some teenagers are listening to this, and they're going to have a conversation with your parents afterwards. I'm sorry. They're going to say, but Pastor Andrew said, the lines need to flex. You need to let me go out. I'll just let you deal with that. All right. Fuel for fathers. Look at your notes there. Let's just go through them. F. Future focus. Future focus. You. So this is a group exercise. Upward pointing. E. Equipping mentality. L. Lots of love and laughter. U. Uproot the cycle. And P. Place boundaries. Place boundaries. Fathers, would you stand? I just want to minister to you just for a few moments. All dads. Let me read to you something out of 2 Chronicles. This is actually the reading out of one of the chapters that's the reading today in our life journals. And I was looking through the chapters to see if God might have something for us today. And I felt like this was for you, dads. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 15. This is the Lord speaking. And he says, "Listen, all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat." And I think he says, "Listen, dads. Listen, dads of Koinonia this morning. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude." Dads, don't be afraid today because of the challenges that are ahead of you. Don't get your eyes on the mistakes of the past. Now, we all make mistakes. And sometimes when all we can see is all the stuff that we've done wrong with our kids, or all the shortcomings that we have, or just the impossibility of being able to do this job as a parent. How do we do this? Lord, how do we do this? It just seems totally impossible. I think he says today, don't be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It's not yours, but God's. But, it says, tomorrow go down against them. And then verse 17 says, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. So the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, but stand. So dads, today the task is too big for you. The task is too large for us. There is no way for us to really do this job adequately without his help. Our task is to stand, to rely on him, to say, you know what, I'm not stepping out of the picture. I'm not getting focused on the past and all that I've done that maybe it wasn't enough. I'm going to stand and believe that God is enough, that he can help me, that he can equip me, that he can help me see those teachable moments, that he can help me speak into those children of mine, that he can help me see the potential that's in them that I sometimes I have a hard time seeing. Today, I think God says to you, dads, you can do it through him. If you would just bow your heads just for one moment, I just want to pray quickly for a couple of groups of dads. First of all, dads that want their mouths to be full of life and blessing. Maybe you recognize that your mouth has not been full of life and blessing. Maybe you have given your mouth over to things and said things to your kids that you just, gosh, you just regret. And I just want to pray for you this morning that God would not have any, he has no condemnation for you this morning. But by raising your hand, you're just saying, Lord, I need your help in this area. And I'm deciding today to give my mouth to you that it would be full of life and blessing instead of that which has been full of it. And if that's you, Dad, just raise your hands quickly. Just raise your hands quickly all over the auditorium. Okay, go ahead and put those hands down. Dads that want their worship to be invigorated. There's some dads here this morning that you just recognize that you maybe haven't been the greatest model of the priest in your home, and you desire, you know, you need to be just more aggressive about your worship of God, about pointing upward to him. That's you. Just raise your hand. Say, Lord, I'm making a new decision today to be the priest in my home. I'm not going to do it perfect, but I'm going to do it in your strength. I'm going to be practical with my kids. Thirdly, dads that need to crucify selfishness. Dads, you just recognize maybe that you've been too selfish with things. You've put yourself first. And today you're deciding, you know what, I'm going to lay that down. I'm going to put my family, my kids first. I'm going to lay the stuff down that's been in front of me. Just raise your hand and say, God, I need your power today to break selfishness. And then finally, thank you guys, dads that need to break the cycle today. I know, dads, there's some of you here this morning that when I talked about breaking the cycle, you began to think about the impossibility of breaking the cycle, how you've tried and you've come up against this thing over and over again. It just seems impossible. And I just know that there is freedom that is available through Jesus. There is a freedom available through Father God. The Father can break the cycles of addiction, of terminal tendency, of anger, of bitterness, of hidden sin. He can break that if we yield it to him. So if that's you, if you say, man, God, I need your help in breaking the cycle. I'm committing even this morning to do something about this, Lord, to take a step. Just raise your hand right now. Just raise your hand. Lord Jesus, for every hand that has been raised, for those that once again want to give their mouths to you, for those that, Lord, want to break the cycle, for those, God, that are laying down selfishness, for those that are making a commitment once again to follow and worship you every day, I thank you for fathers, Lord. I thank you for their commitment. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the ultimate Father, that you're going to fill them with your power and your anointing. You're going to equip them beyond what they can do in and of themselves. Lord, we can't do this task, but you can do this task. And just say, Dad, God, help me. Father, help me this morning. Help us today, Lord Jesus. We give our lives and our hearts to you. We give our kids to you. We ask that you would fill us with vision and purpose from you, Lord, for them. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, guys, if you would just take a seat for just a moment, if I could have the prayer teams come up, and if I could have the ushers also come up quickly. We're going to receive our offering this morning. The reason we waited for the offering is just because, Dads, I wanted to give you an opportunity for battle zone information. And so in your bulletin, as I mentioned, on the back of that connection card, there is a checkoff box that says battle zone. And what you're not signing up for battle zone, you're signing up to get information. And we will contact you and give you information. So if you would check that box off, put your name and your phone number there, drop it in this. Of course, if you brought tithes and offerings, you can give that during this time as well. But let me just encourage you, Dads, take advantage of battle zone. Take advantage of this opportunity. We've got a whole new crop of groups that are coming up. They meet in the evenings. They meet all different nights of the weeks. And you, every guy that I've talked to that has pushed into this has just seen the incredible significance of this. So please do that. It'll help you as a father, help you as a man. You can also get more information during our barbecue here that's going to happen at the booth. There's a Battle Zone booth. And you guys check that kit car out? I saw that thing, man. Kit's out there. There's a Viper out there. There's a pretty sweet Porsche out there. There's all kinds of fun stuff. Hot dogs and tri-tip for dads. We got tables and chairs out there if you want to hang out. And of course, the raffle that's coming up. Man, I want to win that prize. They tell me that I'm disqualified because everybody think it was rigged, you know. So, you guys feel sad for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our leader. Thank you for being our Father. Father, Father, Father God. Daddy God, Abba Father, the one who has the answers, the one who has all power, the one who has in his hand the ability, Lord, to help us live our lives, to be equipped with every good thing so that we might do the things that you've called us to do. Lord, wherever there is pain today, I pray that you would heal. Wherever, God, there is need today, I pray that you would be sufficient. Lord, I just invite your presence to go with us today. And I just speak over this body of Koinonia, a blessing today that they would go and that their homes would be touched with your presence. That Father's Day today would be just a sweet time when the Father himself would visit them. And pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, once you stand up, I'm going to dismiss you. If you need prayer, we've got prayer teams up front. Go and have a good time. Enjoy that tri-tip. God bless.